You're listening to On the Couch with Dr. Michelle, right here on LA Talk Radio.
This is Dr. Michelle Cohen, and you are officially on the couch. Welcome, everyone, as you always are at this time, Fridays, 11 Pacific time, on LA Talk Radio, the country's most listened to, cool, irreverent, and entertaining talk station. And this is the show where you can find out about helping yourself or helping those in your life who you love, giving advice to friends and family, just suggestions, you know, that just might make you feel better about you and your life. And, you know, do keep in mind that we don't have a therapeutic relationship, but the thing is what I do is offer suggestions and ideas, just, you know, give you some sort of support for things going on. And as usual, I always try to interview expert authors, self-help experts, folks who know their stuff, basically, psychologists, psychiatrists, anyone in the field of helping people, you know, live better lives and help their mental health. And that's the way it is. I also encourage you guys to always give me a call if you have a comment or a question about the show topic or to my guest or myself. The number here, 323-203-0815. 323-203-0815. And of course, I'm really always down for you guys to email me, because it really helps when the emails are coming in, and then I can really pick and choose to help target the questions that most of you would ask. And so I encourage you to do that. And also, a lot of folks out there are kind of shy. They don't want to get their voices on the air. And I get that. I get that. So the email address, straighttalkdoc@gmail.com. straighttalkdoc@gmail.com. Just let me know what's going on. If you have any questions or comments, come on down. Love to hear from you. Today, as always, a really interesting subject we're going to be talking about. And, you know, although it's focusing on a lot of girls and women's mental health and stuff, this is also for you guys out there. You know, young guys, you know, older guys, dads, especially moms and girls, younger girls. We're talking about, you know, making girls in this society healthier people, basically. You know, I mean, this is the thing that's going on. I mean, so many people are seeing that today's young girls are facing so much pressure. You know, we've got to try to help them, because they have to live up to so many confusing and contradictory expectations. You know, I mean, there's like pop culture and social media and all their own friends. And girls are always urged to look perfect. And by the way, much older than they are. Don't those shows with those, moms and their little girls and those pageants kind of creep you out? That creeps me out. Oof. It's all about the moms, kind of, you know? But anyway, that's just one little aspect of what we're talking about today. Oh, it's scary stuff. Anyway, a lot of girls are really pressured to be major, accomplished, perfect, look great, and all that stuff. And it's basically all about gaining approval from others. So my guest today will be talking about her latest book and also what she teaches. It's about parenting girls, you know, for having more resilience in this toxic culture that we live in. You know, I mean, think about all the cultural messages that we get. I mean, not only American culture, but all cultures over the world are now changing, you know. And it was like originally created to encourage, you know, folks to consume. But it seems to be like we're turning into a society that's being consumed by the messages. And I think it's really harmful to women, and young women especially, because it really puts together a lot of negative perceptions of women, and it kind of reinforces that on a daily basis, you know. Mass media is such a potent tool. It really is. You know, there's a woman who writes these articles. She's an expert. Her name's Rosalind Gill, and she says we live in an era of 360-degree branding. Because, I mean, ads are found on television, of course, buses, sides of buildings, magazines, computer, social media, you know, and it's always there. It's out there. And, of course, peers and our friends, and we talk about it, and that's it. And all this stuff gives messages that we accept openly and willingly, you know. And the problem with these messages, I think, is they help to shape our most important aspects of who we are. In other words, like our identities helps, you know, shape our dreams and our hopes and our ambitions and fears, you know, especially for young men and young women, more importantly, you know. And the products are, what's really cool is it's you've got to take a look at what's going on. And you've got to read a lot of people's points of view on this who point out that the products are given an exchange value. And the descriptions of these products are kind of like translated into statements about who we are and who we aspire to become. So, like I said, this turns into a person's identity. And that, the identity of somebody turns into a product instead of a bunch of thoughts and feelings, you know, in an attempt to turn human worth into that of what can be found in a store. This is what it is. And of course it's sales. Of course it's generating, you know, consumerism in the economy. I get it. But the effect of this is that a person or a young person who, you know, is really vulnerable, especially a lot of young women, you know, their actual identity and the way that they're perceived by others becomes kind of skewed. You know, society regards these messages about what people are and what they should be as absolute truths. You know, I think a lot of people buy into this. Again, especially young people who are really susceptible to these messages. You know what I'm saying? When you get a little bit older, you find your identity. Yeah, you see these ads. You want to be that guy. Mm-hmm. You want to be that good-looking guy. You want to be that girl, that hot girl. That's perfect in every way. And it just, it really kind of messes with our identity, especially if we don't feel that we're living up to what the media is portraying us to be or the way we're supposed to be. You know, so it's kind of a scary thing. And, you know, when our identity is taken away from us, who are we really? Or are transformed into a thing. This is what we have to be. This is what we have to buy. This is how we have to look. This is how we have to talk. You know, our identity, our humanity is kind of stripped from us. You know, I mean, you guys are going, yeah, we know about that. Come on, Doc. It's all, everybody knows that's what's going on. But really, truly, we got to embrace it and look at some of the problems going on with our kids. I'm talking about adolescents, all that pressure to live up to what we have to be. Man, it's heavy. I wouldn't want to be an adolescent in this society. I'd be pretty, like, messed up and confused. I remember even when I was, quite a long time ago, I was, you know, I had to look a certain way. I had to be, you know, that cute, hot girl. I had to, you know, be with the right friends and go to the right places. And, you know, of course, that's normal development, you know, like when you hit puberty and you're an adolescent and all that. But you know what? It kind of, you move on a little bit. But now, more than ever, I mean, we're constantly being bombarded with that, you know, in society. And a lot of people are looking at the fact that while the media tries to target every person, the level of exposure, you know, is really dictated by gender. And the majority of these harmful messages are focused more towards women. That's just the way it is. It's really tough like that. So basically, that's, you know, what we're going to be talking about today, because it's a really important subject. And my special guest is an expert on that. And I always like to get those experts who know really all about what they're talking about, because I just kind of skim, you know, some of these subjects because I've been, you know, educated about it, but boy, when I get the experts, I love it. So they can tell me what and help you guys out as well. So I want to encourage you again, if you'd like to call in, the number here, 323-203-0815. Or if you're shy, you can email me questions, comments to our special guest or myself, straighttalkdoc@gmail.com. straighttalkdoc@gmail.com. So without further ado, what I'd like to do right now is bring up my special guest today. We're talking about her latest book, and it's so good. I mean, if you want to read a book about the effect that media has on young people, especially young women, and how difficult it is for them these days, this is the book that you need to check out. Because, I mean, this is really going to help you out. It's called Swimming Upstream, Parenting Girls for Resilience in a Toxic Culture. So I have on the line the author and expert of that book, Laura Choate. Laura, how are you today?
I'm good. Thanks for inviting me on your show.
Oh, well, thanks for coming on. You know, I've watched a couple of your videos and your interviews online. And, of course, I've checked out your other books you've written. You really nail it with what's going on, especially with young women these days, and all the pressures that they have to deal with. I really appreciate, you know, the science behind what you're saying and the reality of what we're seeing. It's a really good book. So, you know, for today's adolescent girls, there's so many pressures that really, you know, like I was saying, Laura, they weren't happening 20 years ago. They weren't. So maybe you could elaborate a little bit more about why today's cultural expectations for today's girls are so toxic.
Yes, and that is why I put the word toxic in the title of the book, is Parenting Girls for Resilience in a Toxic Culture, because it has become so toxic today because our culture has changed. As you said, this wasn't even really present even 15, 20 years ago. Mm-hmm. So the way I describe the cultural pressures for today's girls is, I say it's according to the three A's, is that if girls are looking for validation and they're looking for acceptance and they look to the media, what they're going to hear is your worth is based on your appearance, how hot and sexy that you look.
Yep.
Your worth is based on your ability to gain attention, to be famous, to get as many likes and followers online and in real life as possible. And then it's based on your accomplishments, how you can accumulate as many accomplishments, whether they're academic or extracurricular. You have to do it all. You have to be perfect.
Wow.
And for some girls, that's just, or really for any girl, I would say, that's too much pressure for anyone to handle, for any one person to have to try to live up to all three of those areas. And they're bombarded with those messages every day.
Oh, you are so right. You are so right, Dr. Choate. What's so interesting is, you know, I was saying a little bit earlier that in my generation, you know, I mean, when I was a teen or when I was a young adult, we just didn't have all that going on because, of course, we didn't have the social media online. We didn't have all those likes and how important it is to our identity to have how many friends we can have, or you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. And the Instagram pictures that we have to post that have to make us look kind of cool and popular with all these people around us and, you know, in the creepiest sense, really hot and sexy, you know. So we didn't have that back then, and now it's just like, boom, it's blown up, and it's constantly bombarding our kids and our daughters, you know.
Right. And if you imagine, in the past, you just had to manage your face-to-face relationships, and you had a guess about whether people liked you or didn't like you, but you didn't have any tangible proof of that.
Right.
Now girls can look online, and they see their numbers, and they're measuring their identity and their sense of value or their whole sense of self-esteem based on how many likes a picture gets or how many followers they can get, and they feel bad about themselves if a certain picture doesn't get the number of likes that they were expecting. And to really define themselves by those numbers, that's what's so concerning. And that's what girls in the past just didn't have to manage.
Yes, exactly. Boy, you nailed it. By the way, in case you just tuned in here, you're on the couch with Dr. Michelle. My special guest today, Laura Choate. She is the author of the book we're talking about. But by the way, she's a professor at Louisiana State University, a licensed professional counselor, and the former editor of the Journal of College Counseling. Also the author of many books, a couple of them, Girls and Women's Wellness, also Eating Disorders and Obesity, Adolescent Girls in Distress. And, of course, we're talking about her latest book, which incorporates a lot of that information, Swimming Upstream, rather, Parenting Girls for Resilience in a Toxic Culture. So we're talking about that toxic culture. We're getting a couple of emails already about that, but we'll get to you guys. I just want to talk more to you, Laura, about some of the, you know, like you said, those messages that are kind of toxic. And it's really scary because so many parents come in to see me in my practice who have these teenage kids. And the daughters, they are really worried about how to talk to them without making them angry and, you know, having more issues. But, Laura, what do you suggest we can do as parents when our daughters want to wear those the latest hot and sexy fashions? I mean, what, you know, how do we handle this?
Right. Because, well, first you have to look at why wouldn't the girls want to wear them?
Yeah.
When they
yeah.
look at the media and they look around, they see, well, for one thing, that's mostly what they see in the stores that's being marketed to them. And then they also see how much attention that it could gain them. If they wear those latest fashions, look at all the attention they can get from others. So, of course, they want to wear them. That's where we as parents have to come in. And if when parents decide that, no, that's not something that I want my daughter to be wearing, that it is okay to say no. I think we have to start with that right there. We don't have to say yes if it doesn't align with our values as parents. So we can say no, and then we can help her understand, and she may not agree, but we can help her understand we're looking at her safety. It's a safety issue that just because she intends for her outfit to look one way, it might be misperceived by others, and that some people may be looking at her in a different way than she can even imagine. She just looks at it for all the positive attention that she'll get. She doesn't realize the negative attention she could get in terms of unwanted sexual attention. And then the third thing that I think is so important for younger girls is when you're wearing hot and sexy clothes, you're not comfortable. You're not able to just be yourself and run and play and have fun and do the things that girls are supposed to be doing. And instead, they make you self-conscious. They make you think about how am I coming across to other people? How is my skirt riding up? Is my jacket too tight? You know, whatever it might be, you become self-conscious. And we as women, we know what that feels like. Girls need to be protected from that self-consciousness as much as possible, to just be able to relax and run and play and be a kid for as long as you need to be. And I think that's what gets missed out on when you're wearing something that is really intended for someone much older than you are.
Exactly. That is so true. You know, it's interesting because I think you just answered the question, but we had a quick email here that came in from Lindsay, and she said, my daughter always argues with me and my husband every day after school. She wears a uniform to school, thankfully, but when she comes home to go hang out with her friends, she puts on these mini skirts and tank tops, and we're always saying, you're not leaving the house or going to your friend's house looking like that. So that's really, you know, exactly what you're talking about. And you really did help with, and I hope you were listening, Lindsay, about how to kind of make our daughters aware of why this might not be so cool, you know.
And that, and I hope it's coming across, too, that I understand that's hard. It's hard to have those daily arguments.
Yeah.
It's hard to say no, but it's important to say no.
God, it really is. And also, in a little bit, guys, we'll be talking about some of the tools that Laura gives to help parents stay sane and to cope with a lot of these pressures going on. And, you know, part of dressing hot and sexy is you know, part of that is the need to gain attention, to find that self-worth. You know what I'm saying? Or having to be accomplished. I'm so accomplished. You know, because again, that's the whole media, model that they're giving. So How do we as parents and relatives and caregivers help prevent this attention-seeking behavior in all aspects, not only, you know, like I said, having to wear the sexy clothing, but all of these, I guess, outbursts and, you know, wanting attention. How do we kind of dial this down for our daughters?
Right. I think the most important thing is that realize that for parents that we do make a difference, mm-hmm. and that, yes, it seems like we are just kind of floating along in this cultural stream, but that's why the title of the book, that mm-hmm. we can swim upstream. There is something that we do that we can do, and we can make a difference. We don't have to just throw up our hands and say, oh, well, that's just how things are today.
You know,
and the first thing we can do is the most important, I think, and that's just love your daughter and validate who she is and not who the culture expects her to be.
Mm-hmm.
Because if she's trying to live up to what the culture expects her to be, she's never going to feel good about herself. She's never going to feel like she's enough, because who could when you consider these expectations? So she feels fully loved, fully accepted, fully validated that someone in this world, her parents, think that she's great. They like her just as she is, and that she has nothing to prove, nothing to accomplish.
Mm-hmm.
And then the other thing is for parents to know that we don't have to get caught up in the same pressures that our daughters are, which is, if we look at all the pressures on parents today to have their daughters to be cool and popular. Mm-hmm. And if we're pushing our daughters to be cool and popular and to be part of that popular group, that's probably what she's going to get sucked into.
Yeah.
And so it's okay for us to choose another path for ourselves as well. And we may not be the most popular parent on the block, and our kids may get mad at us for a while.
Yep.
And that's okay.
That's so true. You know,
if we look at what is it that we really want for our daughters, and then do whatever it takes, even if it's countercultural, to help that happen.
You're so right. You know, a little earlier I was talking, about those goofy shows. You know, you always have the old school stage moms and then the dance moms. And, you know, they have the moms who really push their little girls into those beauty pageants and things like that. And I guess there's nothing wrong with that. It's sort of cultural. But, you know, based on what's going on in society, it just doesn't seem to be too healthy right now. So, you know, it's just... the problem with this is, too, is the girls are going through a lot of mental changes, you know. I mean, and you say they start as early as 3 or 4 or 5 to get these messages, you know, especially from these moms, these parents who need to have their children recognized. Isn't a lot of it the parents' egos that need stroking to display their children kind of like trophies, don't you think?
I think that in some cases, parents need to check and see if that's what's going on. What is really driving your behavior if you're acting more like your child's friend instead of your child's parent?
Mm.
And you want your child to be popular, maybe because you never were popular in school. And you want your child to be able to get all the attention and accolades maybe that you were never able to receive.
Mm-hmm.
So really being able to separate, this is my child, and she can grow and flourish and develop into the person she's meant to be, and that's separate from who I am. And so I think it helps every parent to stop and question that from time to time. And I talk about that a lot in the book, about what do you want for your daughter, and is that based on who she is and her strengths and abilities, or is that based on what you really want for her, based on maybe some unresolved issues in your own life. So yeah, I think that there's some of that there. And then parents are just as caught up in a lot of these pressures as their kids are in many cases. If I've read about the term mom petition, the mom petition on Facebook, that everybody's putting pictures of their kids and trying to make them seem like they, you know, their kids are these perfect children, they have the perfect families, they're running the perfect household.
Mm-hmm.
And parents get sucked into that too, just like their children do.
Gosh, you're so right, Laura. By the way, in case you just tuned in here, you're on the couch with Dr. Michelle. My special guest today is Laura Choate. She's authored so many books, and we're talking about her latest today. We'll be giving you more information about you, how you can find out more about Laura. But the book's called Swimming Upstream, Parenting Girls for Resilience in a Toxic Culture. And we're talking about that toxic culture, and I thank you guys for emailing me here some of your questions at straighttalkdoc@gmail.com. And we're going to get to some of those questions, maybe help you out a little bit. You know, as a psychologist, I loved that part of your book where you focus on the chapters of some of the mental health conditions that are really happening that you see in a lot of young girls. So can you talk about some of those things you're seeing earlier and earlier in girls?
Right. The problems that seem to be on the increase in girls today are really concerning, and they're also preventable. They're issues that if we can catch them early on, it can save a girl from a lifetime of struggle with some of these issues. The ones I talk about in the book that are the most predominant in girls are depression, which is twice as prevalent in girls as it is in boys, and really spikes between the ages of 12 and 15 in girls. That's where we really see the increases occurring. And then, of course, anxiety, substance abuse, self-injury, eating disorders, and sexual trauma.
Oh, boy.
And by that I mean it's sexual abuse that can occur early in a girl's life, but it can also be sexual victimization and dating violence as she gets into the dating years.
Wow.
And so, yeah, those are all scary for parents to hear about, but they are prevalent today, and we have to look at why are they increasing in girls, and what's the connection between that and the pressures that girls are experiencing at younger and younger ages in terms of these cultural influences that we've talked about previously.
Yeah, and I love the way that makes so much sense. I love the way that you also, you know, help parents in this book, or caregivers, whoever, and relatives, the loved ones, helping the young girls. How to kind of phrase things and how to help them along and talk to them, maybe unlike our parents did to us. You know, you're this, so you're going to turn into that. Or you're, you know, those you statements that are all kind of scary growing up. You know, you look like a tramp. Or, you know, those, right?
Right.
You have some really lovely ways and tools that parents can use in order to encourage their daughters to have healthier choices. So can you maybe share some of those tools on how to address our daughters' issues to avoid them from, you know, slipping into this societal pressure?
Yes. I think one thing that we can do first as parents, I said the first thing is love and validate, and I think that's so important. But a second very practical step is to what I call this in the book, turn down the volume. Mm. And that means intentionally decrease the amount of media that you, and your daughter, really your whole family, consumed. Mm-hmm. And this has to be intentional because, as we know, the media is available 24/7 in terms of the internet and everything that the girls are bombarded with day after day after day.
Yep.
So I read a study just this week that was released by Common Sense Media that said teens today are on entertainment media, which includes social media, 9 hours a day on average.
Oh my
9
God.
Hours a day, and that's more than they even spend sleeping.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
We know that kids are so immersed in social media and other forms of media, and usually more than one at a time. And if that's all they're hearing, that's all they're being exposed to day in, day out, then of course they're going to start to buy into these messages. And research bears that out, that the more immersed you are in these cultural influences, the more likely you are to internalize them and then in turn, you know, believe them about yourself and act on those beliefs.
Yeah.
So parents can intentionally do things like require that their kids have a break from social media every day. Mm-hmm. Have family meals with no media. That means neither for the parents or for the kids.
Yep.
For kids to give the parents their devices at night so they have no devices in their room at night. Even to consider not having a television or a computer in kids' bedrooms, because mm-hmm. we know that's linked to a host of negative outcomes, especially for younger children.
Yeah.
So just intentionally taking breaks from media. Mm-hmm. And that has to start first with the parents, because if a parent constantly is texting and checking their phone mm-hmm. every few seconds when they're with their kids, it's going to be hard for kids to not do the same thing.
Boy, is that
so
true.
That those two things, the love and validation mm-hmm. and taking media breaks, will make a huge impact mm-hmm. on how much your daughter buys into these messages.
Oh, that's wonderful. That is such good advice. And is that what you say in your book when you talk about helping the girls to develop and hold on to their authentic selves? And that has to do, mm-hmm. with the love and validation. So, validating who they are as people. How do we encourage more of that? How can we do that? Because everybody's right. individual. So, what's the best way to do that?
Right. And in my book, I have a chapter devoted to four different resilience skills, which okay. I'll talk about in a minute, which help a girl
yeah.
Develop a strong inner core.
Yep.
But for me, what I talk about in your inner core or mm-hmm. your resilience is for a girl to be able to stand up for first to know who she is, know what she believes, know what she values, and then to have the courage to stand up for that and to not be a people pleaser, not be always looking to other people to validate her, because she already mm-hmm. feels validated. She already feels a sense of worth because of who she is, and she's not doesn't have to apologize for that and isn't always seeking that from other people. So she's complete in and of herself, not a people pleaser, but at the same time, she gets along well with others and has empathy for others. So we have a lot of girls today that may seem like they stand up for themselves, they're loud, they're argumentative, but then they are not kind and respectful to other people. So to have resilience, you need to have that balance between the two, to be able to be yourself, stand up for yourself, but also be respectful of the rights of other people and to care about other people. Mm. And I think searching for that balance is so important, and something that really it starts in girlhood and it carries all the way through to us as adult women as well.
Yes.
Yes, we're caretakers, and yes, we want to look out for other people, but we also have to look out for ourselves. And if we err too far on either side of that balance, then there can be problems. So I think that having her, that sense of resilience, being able to know who she is, what she values, and then being respectful of other people is important. And in the book, I talk about how it's important for her to have a healthy body image,
yeah.
healthy relationships with other people, a healthy perspective on academics and her performance, and then also strong coping skills. And I know we'll get into all four
yeah.
of those
great.
Later on, but just wanted yeah. to say that all of those things taken together can help a girl have that strong inner core.
Mm, boy, is that true. Thank you so much for explaining that. Guys, if you just tuned in here, you're on the air here with Dr. Michelle, and that's me. And we're on the couch together with my special guest, Laura Choate. She's the author of Swimming Upstream, the latest book of hers, Parenting Girls for Resilience in a Toxic Culture. And, it's funny, Laura, it's not funny, but I mean, it's true and it's real. I just got a quick email here from Dan, and he is a father, apparently, because he said, this is a great show, but I think it's important to also know that there are pressures on adolescent boys, too. They have to be cool, tough, and look good. My 13-year-old son gets teased for his weight and glasses. They call him a nerd and a fatty. He has very low self-esteem, and I worry about him. Well, I hear you, Dan, and I think, that is certainly valid, and I know, Laura, you would agree with me on that completely. The boys do have
Definitely.
Pressures. They have their own
they
set
have
of
some,
pressures.
Some pressures that are similar and
yes.
then some that are distinct.
Yes.
And I think it's important for us to talk about boys' issues, too. But
mm-hmm.
in this particular book, I
yeah.
wrote it for parents of girls.
That's right.
So I have a... I have a 12-year-old son, too, and he often complains about, why are you always writing about girls and women's issues? And yeah, when are you going to write about boys?
All right.
And so I hear you, but this is, you know, I can focus only on you know, one aspect at a time. But I think it's important, and I think it's a subject worth covering.
Right. So, Dan, we both agree, Laura and I, that it is really important. But it is, you're right, Laura, there are other, you know, pressures and other issues that, that boys have, too, and adolescent boys especially. And, you know, there's a lot of media messages out there for them to how they should look and be and act. And it's there's a lot of, you know... There's a lot of pressure for boys, too. But like we said today, you know, we are focusing on Laura's book, and we are both validating exactly what you said. So maybe that's Laura's next book. How's that, Dan?
Right. Especially for boys who don't play sports. I think it's especially difficult for them in our culture today.
Yes, I agree with you because, you know, that is, that's involved in a lot of self-esteem and, you know, building up something that they can really focus on. And it's also great for their minds as well. It's girls, too. We all need to exercise. And, but, I mean, you're so right, Laura. I agree with you. I want to talk about this whole idea. I want to also get to, you know, how we as parents can cope. But, you know, we were on sort of the subject, and Dan kind of threw this up here, about being teased. And you write in your book about this epidemic of meanness, you know, the Mean Girls movie, you know, Lindsay Lohan's movie that came out quite a while ago, actually. But this cool to be cruel attitude among girls, directed at other girls in our society. Why do you think this, as you call it, relational aggression is happening?
Yes, I think that, and the Mean Girls movie, I think it just celebrated its 10-year anniversary. So it has been a while, around a while, but it's still such a great example that people still quote it today as far as capturing that culture of meanness in girls. I believe that this is getting even worse today because of what girls see in the media when they look on reality TV shows, when they look on YouTube videos. What do they see? They see women not as allies and as friends, but as backstabbing, fighting competitors. They're all usually competing for male attention in almost every case. And it's very hard to find a media show that portrays positive female friendship. So usually what girls are seeing are girls backstabbing, fighting, catfighting, all the different forms of being of meanness. And then also what we know is if a girl is growing up constantly communicating online rather than face-to-face, she's not developing those social skills and the ability to read social cues that, you know, when you're talking to someone face-to-face, you know when you've hurt their feelings. You know, you can read it through their body language that they've been hurt. When you're communicating online, you just don't pick up on those cues. You never learn how to develop those cues. So what we know is kids today have lower abilities to display empathy.
Yes.
They just haven't learned strong empathy skills, and this goes for both girls and boys. But especially for girls, they just haven't learned how their actions and words come across to others and are hurtful to others. And then, of course, it's much easier to be mean to someone when you're not looking at them face-to-face, and you don't have to face the consequences, and especially when you can do it online. Anonymously, as many girls have figured out how to do. So I think those are two reasons that are fueling the relational aggression today and making it even worse.
I so agree with you. You know, so many of these reality shows, they're just, and I don't mean to, you know, put it down, but I mean, a lot of people are really addicted to those programs. You know, it's just so juicy and exciting to see people so dramatic. And, you know, I don't know. I don't know why anyone would want to emulate some of these people. But I mean, I guess it's cool to be like that, you know, the more drama.
Well,
if
you're a young girl and you're learning, I want to be famous. I want to be as known as these people are. That's what I need to do.
And that's exactly
negative
right.
attention is better than no attention. That is the message that girls are receiving.
Exactly. You know, I recall a couple of my colleagues and I who work in the media, you know, we also have a private practice office, but, you know, we've worked together on different programs. You know, or a producer wants information about, you know, a certain subject, whether, you know, a little more, I guess, psychological information. Then they say, we're doing mm-hmm. this other show, and, you know, you'd be a great therapist. We want you guys to tell these young girls and boys, we want you to get more dramatic. We want you to yell at them and tell them that they're messed up and they have problems and that they're, you know, we want you to get really dramatic. And you know what? A lot of, we won't do that. We're not going to go that way. It's not going to help kids if we, you know, as therapists such as yourself and me, do this. And parents as well. You know, I mean, we've got to really manage ourselves and calm things down when we're talking to our kids. And like you said earlier, take a look at how we respond to our kids. If we're projecting our own unresolved issues onto our kids, we got to really think about that and get some help. You know, because it really right. does, it really does begin with the parents and the role models who are in our society, especially to combat some of these crazy messages, you know, in the media and, you know, in the reality shows and stuff. So let's talk about some of the unhealthy romantic relationship practices that a lot of the adolescent girls, you know, are using, and how can we teach them to have healthy romantic relationships? Because this is all messed up. You touched on empathy too, so mm-hmm. how do we deal with these things?
Well, first, maybe if we just backtrack just slightly, yeah. that she, in her own, when she's younger, yeah. she needs to learn a lot of these basic skills in her friendships before mm-hmm. she can learn how to stand up for herself in a romantic relationship. So looking at her group of friends, is she friends with people who help her feel better about herself, or does she feel worse about herself after mm-hmm. being with her friends? Mm-hmm. Is she with people where she can stand up for herself and say if she disagrees with what they're doing or what they want, you know, want her to do? Mm-hmm. Or does she feel like, oh, if I tell them what I think, then they're going to not be friends with me anymore? Yeah. And so maybe she stays in a friendship group longer than she should just to please them and do what they want to do instead of standing up for what she thinks is right mm-hmm. and what she really wants.
Yep.
So developing those skills early on is great practice for future romantic relationships, when we want our daughters to be able to be strong and say, this is who I am. I don't have to compromise who I am in order to please you and do whatever you're asking of me that maybe I don't feel comfortable doing. So if we want her to be able to do that when she's older in romantic relationships, she has to learn to be able to do that in her friendship groups starting in the elementary years.
Wow.
And I think if that's not in place, it's going to be really hard, because if she's trying to look to a romantic partner in order to feel acceptable, to mm-hmm. feel validated, then she's going to be very vulnerable to doing whatever he asks her to do.
Mm. Boy, is that true. That's a great point. That's a really good point, Laura. Just, you know, touching on, you know, how we as parents and caregivers and other family members who are helping out keep our sanity. I mean, you know, how do we manage our, you know, depression and stress when we have to deal with our mm-hmm. girls' outbursts, you know, and the negative accusations and the anger towards us and the I hate yous? I mean, I was reading a book the other day, and it said that if our daughters haven't said I hate you once to us in our lives, then we weren't being good parents. Oh, dear.
Right. Well, that's, yeah, maybe saying it a little strongly, but the idea is valid. And that's where we have to remember to not take all of this so personally, that it's not about us. Part of this, it really stems from two things, is she and all children have a biological drive to separate from us so that they can be independently functioning adults. So mm-hmm. that's part of what they're doing. It's part of the separation and individuation process. That's mm-hmm. just part how it occurs. And it's I am me, you are you. I've got to separate. Sometimes I may have to push really hard to make that happen. Sometimes it's going to feel really uncomfortable, but I'm testing all that out.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's part of it. It's a biological drive.
Right.
The other thing is, and this is helpful to remember too, is that when kids are they're just drowning in all these pressures, they're trying to figure out romantic relationships, friendships, academics, that sometimes they, if they feel loved and cared for at home, maybe they kind of ignore their parents for a while, treat them badly for a while, because they're so focused on all these other areas. And that as a parent, just maybe just realizing, hey, she's got a lot on her plate, and maybe part of this is because she isn't putting as much energy into family or parents as she was, because she's focused on figuring all this other stuff out. Mm-hmm. So we should never tolerate rude or disrespectful behavior, but it helps our own mental health if we remember not to take it personally, because it is part of a developmental process. And we need to step back, take a deep breath, and recognize what's really going on here. This really isn't about that she really hates me. She's trying to say, I'm figuring this out on my own. I need to figure out who I am. And someday she'll be better at it than others.
Right.
But I think that helps. It helps a lot, because if we have so much of ourselves invested in our parenting, and if we find so much of our identity through being a parent, those years are going to be particularly difficult. So as they start to separate, for parents to start to engage in more self-care and look at, well, maybe I've ignored some interests or activities or things I've wanted to do for years, but I've put them on the back burner because I've been investing so much in my child. Maybe it's those adolescent years that you need to find the time to do that and to take care of yourself again, because that's good modeling for your child as well.
Wow.
To be able to take care of yourself and not get so drawn into the emotional outburst.
Boy, is that true. Oh, my goodness. And that is, that's a really good way of looking at it. These are developmental stages, and this is what happens. But, you know, we have to keep ourselves, you know, calm. We have to keep firm, calm, loving. And also you talk about the importance of teaching our girls how to cope by practicing, you know, the spiritual aspects of our lives and gratitude and compassion. And, you know, why are these tools so important?
Well, especially today when kids are immersed in social media, as I said earlier, if they're on social media and media 9 hours a day, then that's going to be really hard to combat, because what are they learning through social media is, the world is about me. I am the center of the universe. It's all about me, me, gaining likes and followers, and I want to get attention from other people so I can be as famous as possible. I mean, it just fuels that in anybody who spends a lot of time on social media. So when you're focused more than on gratitude, what I have, I mean, the things that I do have instead of what I don't have, that I can be thankful for all the good things in my life instead of focusing on I'm not as famous or popular as this other person, that can really help to diffuse that. It helps her learn that there's something much more important than her and her problems. It helps her know that her life has meaning and purpose, and that life isn't just about having to exist out there trying to please other people, but that your life does have a meaning and it does have a purpose, and that you do make a difference in the world. And I'm just developing that sense of compassion for other people and empathy instead of just me, me, me all the time. And we do live in a me, me, me culture.
Sure.
So teaching
kids,
Laura, to step back from that is so important.
Oh, God, is that true? By the way, interesting information. Guys, as you know, all of my shows go up into the archives, and you can download and replay whenever you'd like to. And I want to help you guys find out more about how you can get a hold of Laura's latest book, Swimming Upstream, Parenting Girls for Resilience. I've had a rough time saying that word every time. Parenting Girls for Resilience in a Toxic Culture, and it's Laura Choate. How can folks find more about you, Laura, and get a hold of all your books, by the way? You've written so many great books.
Well, my earlier books were all written for mental health professionals, and I think because I work at LSU, and that's part of what I do is do writing, more academic writing. But I realized that the people that need the help are the people on the front line that are dealing with these pressures and issues every day, and that's why it was so important to me to write this book directly to parents. And I'm a parent, too. I have a 10-year-old daughter, a 12-year-old son, and so I'm on the front line.
Oh, you are? are.
And I know that this is not easy. Aww. So the book can be found easily by going to, it's available on Amazon.com. It's available through the publisher's website, which is Oxford University Press. And then if you go to Amazon.com, I have an author webpage there that will link you back to my other books. And then I do have a small website as well on lsu.edu and then also through WordPress. So if you Google my name, Laura Choate, you should be able to find both of those resources.
Oh, that's great.
I also have a blog on Psychology Today.
Yes, good stuff.
PsychologyToday.com,
yes.
Where I regularly blog about all of these issues.
I know. They're terrific, by the way. And thank you for all that good stuff, Laura. I enjoy reading them. And by the way, LSU is Louisiana State University, folks out there. In case you don't know. I'm sure they all know, though.
Right.
Laura, thank you so much.
We tend to forget that everyone doesn't know about LSU.
That's right. We go USC, LSU, Thanks so much for being on the show today and for enlightening everybody. I really love the contributions that you give about helping our young women in society and also adolescents in general and all of the wonderful blogs that you always write. So take good care, and thanks again for being part of the show today. It's been a pleasure.
Okay, thank you so much for inviting me. I really appreciate it.
Oh, you're welcome. Take good care. We'll look forward to your next book, Laura.
Right. Okay, thanks. Okay. All right, bye.
Bye-bye. Again, if you'd like to download or, hear the show again, it's available. It'll be up tomorrow. We'll have some archives up for you so you can get in touch with or learn more about Laura and get help with raising your teenage daughter, and also adolescence in general. Dr. Michelle here. I'm out of here, and I'll talk to you next week. More information on really having healthy family relationships, getting your act together as well so you can be betters for others. That's what I always say at the end of the show, too. Take care of yourself first, and then you'll be good for others. Thanks for listening, everybody. Talk to you next week. You can stay on the couch if you like here on LA Talk Radio.